Well, Mr. Evans always kids me a little bit because I like to sing the good old well-known songs. We have a song leader in Knoxville that just loves to sing songs nobody knows, and I'll let him do that. You don't want to stand up here and just listen to me, right? Okay, we're here on the last day of unleavened bread. Almost time for pizza. I remember when my kids were smaller, we'd wait till sunset. They moved the daylight savings time back, so now it'd be pretty late if you waited till sunset. But we used to wait for sunset, and we'd go out and we'd get something like that, like pizza or something. So the last day of unleavened bread. So how many here found a leavening product? Come on, don't be shy. Well, it sounds like we did pretty good. I didn't see any hands go up. But it happens, doesn't it? It happens. I remember one year, I think this is our 37th, 8th. She says 38th. Okay, so not so bad. We've done pretty well over the years. I know one year I forgot to clean out my office at work. And I knew it before I went back to the office. Oh, I forgot to look in my refrigerator. Wasn't for sure, but when I opened up the little mini fridge I have in my office, sure enough, there was a whole sleeve of Ritz crackers in there. And we got rid of them. I got rid of them. You know, there was another year where when I go skiing, I usually put a pack of peanut butter crackers in one of my pockets. So when I'm out on the slopes, if I start being hungry or something, I don't have to come in. I just pull those peanut butter crackers when I'm riding the chairlift. And they were in my jacket. And I didn't discover it until the next winter. So they were there the whole time. You know, that's how sin is, though, isn't it? But as soon as I pulled that out of the closet and discovered that those crackers were in there, I knew they were there the entire time. It just struck me. These were in my closet during the days of unleavened bread. There was another time that I remember. Similar circumstance, but at this time we took the boat out in the summer, and my boat has a ski compartment where you keep the skis on the floor. You lift that out and the skis are in a little storage compartment, and I lifted that out and I looked down and there was one single Cheez-It in that compartment. And as soon as I saw it, I realized that was in my garage during the days of unleavened bread. So it does happen. It does happen. But when it does happen, you know, early on we would be all upset. Oh, I let God down, you know, or something. I wasn't as thorough as I should have been. But when I do find something, and we didn't find anything this year yet. I did check my ski jacket. And I cleaned out the boat. See, you learn those lessons. Before the days of unleavened bread, now I pull the boat out and I clean all that out. Didn't do it that year. But we learn those lessons. We learn those lessons because it's really not about crackers at all. It's about our character. And when we see those things now, when I find those things from time to time, I just smile. Because I understand the lesson that's being learned. You know, we take great pains to get those crumbs out. Clean our houses, clean our cars. And we pull a cushion up or we look under the car seat and we think, how in the world did that get there? It's a great lesson. Because when we see something in our lives, we should think, how did that get there? What bad habits have I fallen into? What do I need to change? What do I need to improve? Because we know what those crumbs represent. And we see how easy it is for those things to get back into our life if we let our guard down and we're not watching. I want to look today at what those crumbs represent so we can continually examine ourselves all year, and not just during the days of unleavened bread, but throughout the year as well. The word study for sin is a very interesting study if you go through that. I want to concentrate on the New Testament words because for sermonette time, it's very difficult to put this all into one sermonette. But, you know, you look at these words and you can realize there's a lot of ways that sin can pop back into our lives, too, if we're not watching. The first word I want to look at in the New Testament is Strong's number 266, actually 264, 265, and 266. They're all the same root word. But the word is hamartia, H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. And they have very similar meanings. Thayer's lexicon defines this as this word as a failure to hit the mark. That's pretty interesting. The main idea of this word is falling short, missing the mark, failing to achieve, and so not sharing in the prize. It's the most frequently used word in the New Testament for sin. Those three words, they're all the same root word. You know, we think of sin, we think of a lot of times how black and white it is, but it's not. It's really not. You know, this word, when you enter a shooting contest and you miss the mark and somebody else wins, would we consider that a sin for entering the contest and not hitting the mark? But this word says that is a sin, missing the mark for sin, that is. Thayer's says about this word, it applies, it's always in an ethical sense, whether it occurs by omission or commission, in thought, feeling, in speech, or action. Well, that's a tough one. That's a tough one right there. Let's turn to one place where it's used in the New Testament. Turn over to Romans 3. Romans 3, and we'll start in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. And verse 23, for all have sinned, that's 264, missed the mark. For all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So missing the mark, falling short, not achieving. These are what this word describes. Another word for sin, and we're going to put these together to see how many different ways there are. Let's look at one of the places this next word is used, and it's in 1 John. If you'll turn over to 1 John. There's only one chapter. I'm looking at 2 John, sorry. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we say we have no sin, and that's 266, that's the word we just looked at, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So the word I want to look at is Strong's number 94. and it's adikios, A-D-I-K-O-S. Which word in these verses is that Strong's 94? It's the last word in verse 9, unrighteousness. Thayer's defines this word as injustice, dishonesty, or someone who has violated justice. It's the this word is the exact opposite of uprightness. Are we a little dishonest sometimes? Hopefully not. Maybe we cause a little injustice. This is the word that describes that. Maybe we treat someone badly without cause. This word describes that is sin. Strong's number 3900, 3900, is the next word I want to look at. Paratuma, P-A-R-A-P-T-O-M-A, another word for sin. It's used 21 times. It's usually translated from the word trespass or faults. We won't turn there for time. But one of the places that's used is in James 5:16, where it says we're to confess our faults one to another and pray for each other. And you look at the definition in Thayer's of this word, and it means a sidestep, a lapse, even an unintentional error, this word is defined as. A deviation from truth, a deviation from uprightness. So this word describes even an avoidance, a lapse, an unintentional error can be sinful. Another word is anomia. It's Strong's number 458, A-N-O-M-I-A. And it's the word that the Church of God usually uses this scripture to define sin. You can turn over there, but you know this verse by heart. It's 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Well, sin is the other word we talked about at first, the word sin in this verse. This word, anomia, is transgress. And it literally means without law, wickedness, lawlessness. But it is interesting that 266, the first word that we looked at, is also in this verse. And if you put the two definitions together and translate this verse, you know, this verse could be read like this. If you're missing the mark, you're without law and considered wicked. Missing the mark, hamartia. You're without law and considered wicked. Anomia. For missing the mark is wickedness. That's when you define it. That's what it says. And it's an interesting concept when you put those two meanings together. There are so many others. I'll give you some definitions. Parabasis. P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S. Strong's 3847. To violate a specific or particular law. Or, this word describes neglecting to keep a law, disregarding a law, a breach of a definite, promulgated, ratified law. That's what the definition said. The breach of a promulgated, ratified law. Kind of interesting. It's usually translated from transgressed or transgression. But do we disregard some laws? Maybe not God's laws. But think of this word when you're zooming down the highway at 90 miles an hour. You're in violation of parabasis. Asbia is the best I can pronounce this next one. A-S-E-B-E-I-A, word number 763. It's a noun for ungodliness in thought or in deed. Ophelema, Ophelema, is a debt. It's a word used for debt. This is the word that's used in what is usually considered the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Parakoe, Parakoe, Strong's word 3876. This is an interesting one. We may be guilty of this one, because the definition of that word is unwillingness to hear. Isn't that interesting? Inattention, to neglect or take no heed. That's interesting. Do we cut people off sometimes, cut them short? Are you a hard person to take direction or criticism? This is the word that applies to you in the Scriptures. There are many, many ways that we can fall short. It's not just one of the Ten Commandments. If I don't kill somebody, I'm good to go. You know, take these words, do a search. How many ways and how many times they're used, and how easy it is to allow sin back into our lives. We go through the days of unleavened bread. We get those crumbs out. This is the crumbs. These are the crumbs that we should be worried about. So sin's a failure to hit the mark. To fail or to avoid trying. It's injustice, dishonesty. To trespass laws, to have faults. To sidestep, to have a lapse. An unintentional error. Or to be unwilling to take direction and change. So many concepts to think as we go through our daily lives, to strive to avoid sin. Is it any wonder why we find spiritual crackers on occasion? But it's our job to look for these, to put these out, just to get rid of them completely, not only during the days of unleavened bread, but throughout the year. As we find them, let's put these things out of our lives.